Yes, you are Lord, oh, Jesus. You're the gospel of God, the good news to my heart, oh, good news to the world. Yes, you are Lord, oh, Jesus. You're the gospel of God, the good news to my heart.
Deserve our praise.
a few more times. So be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. So be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise.
Oh, just one more time, just the voices. To be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names.
Yes, you are.
You're you deserve the glory. Oh, your name, Lord, oh, your name. We sing that again, oh, your name is a light in the darkness. Oh, your name is a word of truth. Oh, your name. Oh, your name. Oh, your name is a light in the darkness. Your name is a word of truth. Oh, your name.
Yeah. Philippians 2 verse 5, it says, and you must have the same attitude that Christ had, because even though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something he should cling to, but instead he gave up his divine privilege and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God has elevated him to the place of highest honor and given him the name above all other names. And at that name, Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and on the earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of our Father. Yes. And I want to bring you into reality, is that whether or not what you believe, you don't even have to believe Jesus is Lord for this to be a reality. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess in this life or what's to come. But the reality is, as his church, as his body, we get to do that now. That our reality is, we get to have that same attitude of Jesus, which is, actually, Lord, I want to humble myself and I want to say, you are the Lord of all. You are my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You are the name above every other name. That means in my life, you are the most important thing. In my life, you are the thing that I worship most. You are the one that I worship most. And so as we sing this, it's not just a song that gives us goosebumps. It's a reality that we get to take part in. We get to lift up the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. And so we lift your name up, Jesus. We lift your name on high. Jesus, the name that is above every other name.
We lift your name, Jesus. Oh, we sing that together now. We lift your name.
Yeah. the song that say your word is a light in the dark, I saw like the Lord was getting into the house, and the house had many rooms, and the other rooms were closed, and I felt like the person that was the owner of the house did not want Jesus to get into the other rooms, but he could get into other rooms. And I felt the Lord said he doesn't want just the room, he wants the whole house, he wants the house without walls.
Yeah, so when we were worshiping, I saw this picture, this group of people that represented the church, and they were trying to lift up this huge flag, like this pole, and the flag and it has the name of Jesus written on it. But the problem was some people were trying to put it up themselves for their reputation's sake, and then actually it wasn't working, it's too heavy. And I just felt like the Lord saying, like, this is something you have to do together, and it's not for your name's sake, it's for his name's sake, that he will be glorified, and the impact would be much, much more if you were to be built in the body and do this with the church and not try to do it alone.
Maya just said to me as well that she also had a word where she saw Jesus just walking through this house, but as a man on fire, as he walked around the house. And I want to say, when words of prophecy come like this, the reason they're given is to encourage, to build you up. So if you feel these words resonating inside of you, it's because the Lord, this is the way that he wants to reach out and speak to you this morning. He wants to speak by the gifts that he's given by his Spirit. And so I want to ask, maybe just where we are, if we can just take a moment in worship. There's this clear theme, and I want to put it, I want to almost unlock it for you in this sense, that the Lord is saying that he wants every part of you. I don't know what your New Year's resolution for 2026 is, but I feel like Jesus is saying he wants every part of you. Maybe you've served the Lord for so long, and you've kept the storeroom locked for so long. There's a part of your life that you just don't go there. You don't share that. You don't do that. This is not what you... The Lord wants to go there. He wants all of you. And the reality is that actually Jesus wants to come as the man on fire. He wants to, the light in the room is not that you don't have to fix anything. You don't have to fix it before you ask him to come in. You just open the door. It's this simple. Jesus, I give you everything. Would you come in? Would you come in by your light? Would you come and shine in my heart? I want to give you everything this morning, Lord Jesus. And the other thing is, I really felt that there's this encouragement that the Lord is saying, this is not the year to do it yourself. This is not a DIY project. You're not going to fix your life this year. It's not about your exercise plan. It's not about your 2026 better me. This is about what the Lord has put you into, a part of, together with others. We want to lift the name of Jesus. It's about the bigger picture, which I'm a part of. I'm not the bigger picture. He's the bigger picture. It's for his namesake, not my namesake. Brigitte.
The Lord reminded me of a picture in my childhood where there was always a ladder next to our house, and I always wish that I had the courage to climb this ladder to get on top of the roof to see the sunsets and experience the view, but I just had so much fear around it. And with this picture, I felt the Lord showed me that he wants us to proclaim his name this year on the rooftop and get over the fears and the insecurities that we have. And as we step out and share him to the world, our intimacy with him will even deepen this year. So I want to encourage us to be bold this year.
Picture of a safe harbor, and I saw so clearly just this lighthouse shining brightly. And as we're singing, like, Jesus, you are the light, he is the light, he is our shelter, he is our safe place. And then I saw somebody who was swimming, almost trying to swim to Jesus. You're trying to swim and get closer to him, but you're not moving forward because I see that there's a chain and a weight that is holding you down. And it's like you're trying in your own strength, like Dan was saying, you're gonna like, on your own strength, you're gonna come to Jesus. And on your own terms, you wanna get to him. And I feel like the Lord's saying, you will never get to me that way. That's not how he designed it. He is the only way to himself. And it's when we surrender and say, Jesus, I give up, I give up. That is when he will come and he will sweep you up and take you into his arms, and he will then be your savior. So I feel like there's a call for us to surrender, wanting to save ourselves, and saying, Jesus, I give up. You are my savior.
Just while we're in this time of worship, it's not about anyone else, we're not looking around. I think that's quite a clear message this morning of maybe you feel like you're trying to come to God, but there's something holding you back. You're not even sure what it is necessarily. There's a part of you that feels like you have to do this, and the Lord wants to come this morning, and we're saved, and it's by faith. It's about what we believe about him to be true and how we live according to that belief. That's faith. And what the result of that is. And so even just in this time of worship, I want to say to you this morning, this is not a striving, this is not a tick box, this is not go to church 52 times in a year, get your gold badge and you get to Jesus. This is a, Lord, I want you, but I need you. Help, like we spoke last week, I want to believe, help my unbelief. I want to follow you, but it's hard for me to follow you. So Father, I pray this morning, would you come, and where we have unbelief, where we lack faith in how we come to you, would you help our unbelief? Where we want to swim, where we want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing, but it's so hard. I get it so wrong so often. Jesus, right now, would you come and help our unbelief? Would you give us faith to believe? Jesus, I believe in you. Come by your Spirit. In your wonderful name, Jesus. We thank you for this. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we can grab our seats. Good morning. That's a great way to start the Sunday, right? It's so good to see so many of you have been away for so long. It's so good to see familiar faces again and new faces. Like, really welcome. I wonder if we can welcome, clap, yay. It's cool to see you. What I do want to say is, if you're visiting this morning, if it's your first time in Josh Gen at Sunningdale 8:30, and if you maybe live in the area, you're not from an out-of-towner, and you'd like to know more about us, we have like a little pamphlet that we hand out, which gives you some good toilet reading, basically, or if you get bored during the service, you can read through it. But the main thing is, there is like a coffee voucher in there. That if you hand that back, or even if you don't hand it back, you can just take the voucher and you can grab one of our amazing coffees on the way out. But we don't want to miss an opportunity. So if you did not get one this morning, we do try and give them out to people that we think are visiting. If you got one and you're not visiting, it's okay, keep the voucher. No, but if you are visiting and you didn't get one of those slips and you'd like to just find out more information about us, we just want to give you this brochure. So if that is you, I wonder if you could just raise your hand. We'd like to make sure everybody gets one there. I wonder if you guys could give. Awesome. Welcome. There's another one over there. They're going to come to you now. That side as well. There's three guys over there. Awesome. Welcome. It is great to have you. We hope this morning that you really feel there's no pressure. We don't expect you to do anything. We're super grateful you're here. And we trust that in our meeting, you really do just encounter the person of Jesus. Not about him, but actually him, that he would meet with you. I also want to give a disclaimer if you're visiting, is that normally, like maybe 60, 70% church can look normal here, but often not. And this is one of those mornings where it's not really a normal meeting. Meaning and it's not because I'm lazy, I'm not preaching this morning. Everyone's like, yay. What I actually want to do is I actually wanted to share some of the announcements, share some of the things that is actually in the startup of the year, but with a bit of an understanding behind it. And then we're going to break bread together. You'll see we've set our communion, and that's going to be the service today. So there's not a specific preach that's going to be aimed at you necessarily, but I also want to, in our announcements, I want to do something on purpose this morning. And so if you are visiting, please come back next week. There'll be someone doing a better preach than this week. But really, I wanted to bring an emphasis this morning, and I felt this phrase as we started worship, and that is, Jesus is at the center of it all. That's not just a scripture, and that's not just a song. That's what we believe. Every single thing we do, everything we do, is because we believe that Jesus is at the center of it. It means we would do it because we believe the person of Jesus is involved in it and asked us to do it and led us to do it. So even as we go, because church can very often become very practical. It's like, okay, go to church on Sunday. Okay, go to community on a Wednesday. Okay, follow this announcement. Do this. Be a part of children's ministry. Go to other meetings. It can become tick box. We don't do anything because it's just a good thing to do. We do everything because we believe it's built on the person of Jesus. We wouldn't do it if we didn't feel like it was about him and for him. Is that okay? Yeah. Looking for an amen and announcements. That's when you know you're at a different church service. So the first thing is this, is that we have a combined community night on the 21st of January. There was an announcement that it's the 28th. Then we got kicked out of our venue because there's other meetings happening here. Thank you, Philip. But so we have combined community on the 21st of January. Now, why is that important? It's because welcome to the 8:30 service where you have to wake up super early and at 10:30 you have to be out. That's a bit of our reality, is that there's another service that meets at 11 and they come in, and it means on a Sunday morning we have a limited time, which means very often we don't do what I'm doing today. We don't do announcements. We don't take a lot of time to explain a lot of things because we have a little bit of time. And we want to use that time to make sure we do everything effectively. So one of those things that we cut out on often is announcements. Or not just announcements, but things that are happening in the life of the church. So what we do as an eldership team is once a term, or before a big school holiday, or when a term starts, we call all the communities together on a Wednesday night. And the sole purpose of that Wednesday night is to update and include and to chat about the things that God is doing and to talk about what's happening in the life of the church. And so those meetings are not like, oh, there's no normal community, I'm going to miss that. Those meetings are super important to be at. Why? Because those meetings are where we want to bring the focus of why we do what we do. If you do anything without faith, it's displeasing. You can do good things without faith. It doesn't make them good. And so we want to take the time to make sure that everything that we're doing is centered on, we are doing this because we're a people of conviction. Which means you'll see that in the way that we worship. We're convicted about him and what he's done. And so we worship that it looks like we're living for something. Have you been to a Loftus rugby game? Those oaks have a conviction. They need help, but they have a conviction. More so us in the kingdom and in the life of the church. Our worship looks more radical than the way that we support the stormers. Our worship looks, why? Because we do things out of conviction. And to understand that and to allow that is, you have to understand what is happening. So these are often nights when this happens. We release new community leaders. We pray in new people. So these are not nights to be missed. It's on the 21st. It's here on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Don't miss it. If you're not yet part of a community, you are welcome to come and visit. You're welcome. We want to break bread together. We want to be together. But on a Sunday morning, we know that there are visitors. We want to preach the gospel. We want to give time to worshiping Jesus. And so we can't do everything on a Sunday. So that's, again, once a term, highly important. Don't miss those times. Again, it's because it's centered around Jesus. It's centered around what we believe about him. Church, honestly, and I'm going to say this with boldness. Don't leave, please, even if I tell you to. Honestly, for us, church is not just a Sunday. If you're just looking for a cool service, like, you're welcome to join another church. This is not just about come to church on Sunday and do the cool things. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the kingdom of God. We believe that he has got a part for every single one of us to play. Not to watch happen, not to listen to preachers, but he has a plan for you to advance his kingdom. He has a place for you to be a part of what he's doing. Not others, you. And so that's what we believe about church. It's not about Sunday meetings. We're not trying to make this a cool show that people come to. We want to be a community of God that are committed to each other and committed to him. Is that okay? Shucks. Others are going to be like, what are you doing? First announcement, done. Second one, and there's the scripture in Acts 11, verse 27. And what happens in the Bible is that there's this prophet who comes and he says, there is a famine that is going to come to the land, a natural disaster. And this natural disaster is literally, it puts the people in Jerusalem in massive trouble. And so this prophet goes around to the churches and he warns them. He says, hey, this is happening. You need to help. And the scripture actually says the churches hear that there's something coming and they give all that they could. It's an image for us around why we would do something like this. And so what's happened is, I don't know if you have heard, but there have been the fires in Dunoon that have recently happened. And we have a Joshua Generation Church in Dunoon. And we have members who meet on a Sunday, who are part of that church, who've lost everything. I'm not saying, oh, we lost our second car. Oh, we lost our house that we rent from somebody. I'm talking about people that left with the clothes on their back. They have nothing. And as a church, we can't sit back and be like, oh man, we'll pray for you. That's tough. The Bible says, don't show me your faith by just praying for your brother and sending him away. If you are able to meet that need, help meet the need. And so I want to tell you that we as a church and as a congregation are privileged that we don't live in shacks. But that puts us in a position where we have the ability to be generous towards others. And so this is not just, hey, if you have something you don't like, could you give it? We're asking, like, we need to help families rebuild their lives, rebuild their homes. And so what we're asking is, we're going to take up for the next week or so, hey, Phil, we're going to take up finances for this. The reference will be Dunoon fires. And we need to help rebuild their homes, all their school uniforms, all the school books, all the school stationery, their whole lives have been lost in this thing. And so as the congregations in the area that can help, we're trying to get as much funds as we can so we can meet this need. First, to the people who are a part of us who've lost everything. Remember, they say this is the worst fire since 2013. There is over 5,500 people who've lost everything. We can't care for all 5,500 as much as we'd like to try. We can care for those who are a part of us first. Secondly, is then we want to help reach the community. So even this morning, our church that is in Dunoon, they're doing breakfast. They're helping people rebuild shacks. They are serving food. They're serving tea and coffee. They are reaching out to that community even this morning. And we want to take up donations to help the community for the people who've lost everything. And so if you do have things that you want to donate, primarily, and we've got a list. It's gone out as a message. There's primarily things that are helpful, beds, bedding, clothing, all of these things. If you do want to help and you have the ability to donate some of that stuff, in the upstairs, there's an area called the fishbowl. If you can speak to Gerald, that handsome man at the back waving at you. He is facilitating. What we're going to be doing is collecting all of that stuff here and then delivering it over there. But there is a way that it needs to be administrated in Dunoon, and it's not up to us. There are section leaders in the community who've got the responsibility to help rebuild, and so we want to just make sure that we can give them everything that we can. This is not me coming to you saying, hey guys, this is a good cause to give to. This is me coming to you saying, guys, as the Church of Jesus, we have a responsibility to act in situations like this. So I'm asking you, if you're able to give anything financially, that scripture in Acts 11 says, they gave what they could. If you can give 50 rand, 50 rand helps. If you can give more, it helps. If you can give bedding or a bed or school clothes, that helps. And so please don't think this announcement is for the person next to you. This is for you. Can you chat to your spouse? Can you decide what you can do? And can we pull together and be a part of? This is one of the reasons we're here. This is centered around the person of Jesus. Why? This is what he's like. This reflects who he is. So please, don't just ignore something like this. Okay. Stern faces. Sorry. Next one. This is when you can say R to. There is no church on the 25th of January. But there is an opportunity. So on the 25th of January, we have what we call an elders camp. It's not a camp, it's a bad name. We have an elders time over that weekend where all the elders across all the Joshua Generation churches in South Africa come to Cape Town. And we meet from Friday night, Saturday, Sunday in this building. So there is no time for us to meet on Sunday. The venue is full. If you come here, you won't just find that there's not a meeting. They're even going to say to you, hey man, are you a part of the elders? If not, like, we're actually going to turn you away. It's an important meeting where we get the elders across all the congregations, where we're working together, where we're giving direction, where, I mean, last year we did heart surgery, it felt like, in our hearts and aligned ourselves. And so it's an incredible weekend, but there is no church. Aww. You guys are slow on the uptake. What does it mean? It means you can go to the beach on Sunday morning. You can have breakfast with somebody. You can have brunch. Everyone's like, no, there are other churches. You can go to them. No, don't. Come back here. There are. You could go to Milnerton. You could go to Sunningdale PM. They're meeting still. You could go to Malkbos. But you have to come back the next week. But I'm encouraging the communities. It's a Sunday morning where you could meet with your comm. You could go to the beach. You could go to the mountain. You could go stay at home. It's an opportunity to do something. Don't miss it. Is that okay? Don't come to church, though. I feel like sometimes I emphasize everything else that I forget the main part. Don't come here. The 25th of January in 2 weeks. Next week, come here. The 18th, be here. 25th, don't be here. Okay. And then on the 18th, which is next week, Kids Church will start up again. Yay! All the parents are like, yay! This is amazing. It's super cool. It is incredible. Our church is growing. We have a ton of children. That's not the announcement. The announcement is this. if you have children, we're asking you, we are consistently looking for people to help be a part of the kids ministry team. The guys, we have helpers and teachers on a Sunday. You don't have to be a teacher to help. You can be a helper. So we are looking for people to help us. We ideally ask people if you can commit for the year. So if you can, and if you can't, that's fine. But we're asking people if you could commit for a year where you might be on once every 6 weeks or once a month at a max. It's not often where you can help with the kids ministry on a Sunday morning. That is not a babysitting service. You're not just handing out sweets to children. We are literally building into them. We're teaching them. We're teaching them the scriptures. You remember, if you grew up in church, you remember how important those times are for you as a child. Children's ministry, what they do is incredible. It's not to make up for bad parenting. You still need to do that Monday through Saturday. But on Sunday, we want to build into them. We want to teach them about the Bible. And so we're asking, if you have a kid, you should have a slot. It's not other people's responsibility. I have four, so my wife has four slots. Just kidding. Mine are older. Three are out. I've only got one left. Okay. Kids ministry starting up. Again, look if it's something that you feel like you should be involved in. Why? It's around the person of Jesus. The children were important to him. Who remembers the scripture? Jesus comes and he sits down and all the children come together around him. The disciples are like, get away. Jesus is like, why are you chasing? Come, unless you come to me like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Children are important to him. They're important to us. Last announcement. We're winning, right? We have the citywide gathering, which is happening. I didn't put a date here. Philip, help me, brother. 31st of January. It is on a Saturday. 31st of January. We have a citywide gathering. This is important because it's a time where we get to be a part of the bigger picture of what God is doing in this church. So this church in Sunningdale is a part of 56 other churches called Joshua Generation Church. We have 56 of us. The reason why we don't have a building that seats 10,000 is because we don't believe that's the best way to build church. It becomes impersonal and a crowd. However, there is a massive benefit to getting together and hearing what the Lord is saying to us, hearing what lays ahead for the year, seeing what God is doing in the other congregations. And so I want to say this to you. It is an important time. When you hear the citywide gathering, don't be like, oh man, that's a Shark Stormers game. It literally is. I'm telling you, those two things should not compete on the calendar. This is far more important. This is far more important. And so my advice to you is don't just rock up late and sit at the back. If you do that for every gathering, trust me, you're going to have the same experience over and over again. You're like, oh man, it was a rush, and we queued, and we stood at the back, and it was uncomfortable. Can I tell you what we do? We arrive half an hour earlier, and we get great seats. Not because they're reserved for us, just because we rock up earlier. And so I want to encourage you, when it comes to the gathering, don't just sneak in at the last minute in at the back. It is going to be hot and uncomfortable, and you're going to battle to see what's going on. Come earlier. Sit with your community. Sit together. Give the gathering an opportunity. Be there. But don't, again, this is something for us we feel is around the person of Jesus. The church in the early days, they met in synagogues, and then they met in Solomon's colonnade. They met small and local, where they had a pastor and they had pastors and they had relationship, and they met in homes, and then they also met in Solomon's colonnade, where all 5,000 of them could get together and hear what the Lord is saying. So these times are important times. Don't missed them. There is only three in a year. Four, three. Three and a half. You don't want to miss them. Again, and I'm restating this because maybe you're visiting, but I also want to restate those for you who've been here for a long time. We don't believe at all that church is about what we like. This is not why, you're not here because you like this. We're here because he's Lord. That our Bibles don't say we're the master and he's there to serve us. He's the master. We want to serve him. Check everyone's looking at me badly in this moment. He's the one who laid down his life. We give up our life. It's not for the full-time people when Jesus said, they said, Jesus, we want to follow you. He said, I don't have a home. I'm homeless. If you follow me, it means you'll be homeless. I'm like, well, then we'll be homeless. We don't care the cost. We want to follow you. Following Jesus in this day, in this age, in this time, will cost you everything. This is not a gospel of, come here, we'll give you a great life. You'll get a golden ticket. You'll have some entertaining preaching on a Sunday, and at the end of your life, you go to heaven. No ways. Come, meet the person of Jesus. Meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who gave his life for us, who gives us a reason to live. That's why our jobs, our life, our everything else that we have, it's a part of what we want to do for the kingdom. It's not why we exist on planet Earth. There are means to get by. It's him, all of us, that we live for. Making so many friends today. Is that cool? Done. Last thing that we wanted to do today is that we wanted to take communion together as a church. And so I want to say this. I want to clarify a few things, and then we're going to just do communion together. The first thing is, if you're visiting and you believe in the Lord Jesus and you have faith, if you're a believer, you are welcome to take communion with us. This is not like the Catholics. You didn't have to do a course. You didn't have to answer a quiz. You are welcome to take communion with us. There is some things in the Bible where it says don't take communion, and it's for your sake. It's not to separate you. It's for your sake. And so when we take communion, what we're celebrating is the fact that Jesus came and he gave his body for us. And he shed his blood for us. And what that means is it's a time to remember him and what he's done. And a part of that is to remember the forgiveness that he has given us. It means that if you are a believer and you're sitting here this morning, there is no sin held against you. When you repent, you are forgiven. But what that means is if you can't forgive another, if you hold unforgiveness towards somebody in your life, and you don't have to make it a big scene, no one's looking out for you, I would recommend, and the Bible would say in 1 Corinthians 11, don't take communion in an unholy manner. Don't celebrate your forgiveness and hold unforgiveness towards somebody else. It says you're drinking judgment on yourself. And so if you don't, there is another scripture in Matthew where it talks about leave your sacrifice at the altar, make right with your brother, and then come back and take part. And so I would want to say to you, if you can't this morning, even today, send a message. Make a coffee date. Doesn't even have to be that you need to sort it out, but you need to forgive. And so that is the one thing that we believe around communion is like, this is a sacred and a special thing. And I'm going to explain a little bit more. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not just this tradition. It's one of the sacraments, one of the holy things that we believe Jesus gave us to do until he comes back. One of them is baptism in water, which we are seeing people getting baptized today after church. Woo! The other one is to take communion or break bread. You don't only have to do it on a Sunday. You don't only have to do it when you're at church. You can break bread with your family. And actually in Acts 2 it says, and they broke bread daily. They broke bread together all the time. And the more often you do it, it keeps you living in a space of forgiveness. You can't hold grudges. You can't have problems because you're breaking bread consistently. And so it's a great way to make sure that you live keeping short accounts. So that's the one part. Don't. That's the only don't. Everything else, do. We encourage it. The other thing I want to say is that when we talk about this, it is symbolic and it's not actually Jesus' blood, and the juice isn't actually his blood, and the wafer isn't actually his body, because there is sometimes a confusion of like, it's a holy moment and I don't want to mess it up. And I'm saying what we do is we take part, but it is symbolic. It means it doesn't have to be a specific grape juice and it doesn't have to be a specific, it's symbolic of his blood and his body. Okay. I want to clarify that in case you're visiting, because for some of you, like, why is that even an issue? Trust me, for some it's an issue. So you're not actually eating his body. It's symbolic of his body. It's symbolic of his blood, but it is participating in what he's done. Is that okay? Awesome. So what we've done is we've set up a station at the back over there, and over there, and over there. It's those three. If you can... And you can share with your spouse. If you can just, and your kids, literally, you don't need, it's not to fill you up. You don't need a whole thing. It's a little bit. But I wonder if you guys can get up where you are now, grab, and then come back towards where you were. Go. Again, if you didn't grab, maybe you could just share with your spouse. And it does look like there's leftover if you didn't have. If those who are not, there's there. Awesome. So remembering that when Jesus did this for the first time with his disciples, he did it specifically on another night. And this time was called Passover. And what the Jews would celebrate, and what Jesus was doing is he was taking it for just the Jew, and he was giving it for something for us all to do. And so Passover was given for Jews. It wasn't given for the world to do Passover. It was given to, for the Jewish people to remember what the Lord had done for them when he saved them out of Egypt. And he brought the plagues and he brought the angel of death. And but on that same time, Jesus comes and he sits with his disciples and they're sharing in the Passover meal. And he takes this, and it's an incredible moment because it's the culmination of his ministry. He's been with them for 3 years and he's about to go to the cross. It's about to become the most traumatic day of their lives. They're all about to run away. So I don't know if you know this about the disciples, but most of them abandon him the next day after this. And so even in giving it to them, he knew that even though it's going to cause, some of them are going to run when they face the reality of what he's doing. Some of them are going to flee, but the hope is that afterwards, when you remember me, that it would do something for their faith again. So I want to read this to you, and then we're going to take together. In Luke 22, verse 19, he says, he took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces, and he gave it to the disciples. And he said to them, this is my body, which is given for you. They didn't understand what that meant yet. The next day, they would understand what it meant when he said, my body is given. My body is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement which he has confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you, given and poured out. And so I want you to know that Jesus didn't go to the cross a hostage. He went willingly. He gave himself. He poured out his blood. When he looks at you, when he sees you as an individual, he gave his life for you. He gave it. There's so many theologians who give the picture. They say that what carried Jesus through the cross was the joy set before him. What was the joy set before him? You and me. Us, our lives. Who was to come? All of us who would believe in him. Austin had this word after worship, which I felt was so powerful, is that when he says, do this in remembrance of me, it's not just remember Jesus who was hung on a cross, but also it's remember Jesus who rose again. It is the one who took our sin and our shame, but he didn't die that way. He rose again. He conquered death. He's seated at the right hand of God. And so when we take communion, we don't just remember the pain, we also remember the victory. We remember, Jesus, you gave your life for me, but in doing so, you conquered death. You were raised again. I thank you that you didn't just take my sin, you saved me from it. And so something that for me, and I'm just giving you an insight into Dan, is when I take communion, I often want to take these moments to be reflective. So where you are, maybe by your head, it's a moment between you and the Lord. And I want to ask you a question. What did Jesus save you from? What's he done for you? And as we take the bread together, and you can take it now, we remember his body that was given for us. I'm saved because of you, Jesus. There's nothing I can do. You gave yourself. And that person, that image that you have of yourself that needed saving, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I would be lost without you. I'd be nowhere. And as you take the grape juice now, and you can do it, it's a remembrance that this is not just a one-off event. This is a covenant that he holds with you as his people. This is a promise that he says he has confirmed by Jesus' blood. It's an oath. It means that your sin is forgiven. When you stand before him at the end of your life, the Father, the righteous judge, he won't see you and your wickedness. He will see Jesus and his kindness. And it means when we stand before him, you are paid for in full. You are sanctified. You are made holy. And I want to reiterate this morning, there is nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of God. You can't go around it, you can't go over it, you can't go under. How wide and how great is the love of God? He's made every way for you. And so if you do need to repent, perform this morning, in your heart, maybe you know there is sin, there's something that's held you back, there's mistakes you've made. Right now where you are, God, would you forgive me? Father, would you forgive me? And then our response is gratitude. Lord, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for you.
I just feel such a sense of Jesus in the room this morning. Ask us that we just take a couple of more moments with the Lord. Jesus is here. As he wants to, he's saying, I'm yours and you are mine. I'm yours and you are mine. Of our hearts this morning to see you, to see the depths of your love, to see the width of your love, the height of your love for us, that even while we were sinners, while we were enemies, while we all like sheep led astray, did our own thing, mind our own business, pursued our own things, Jesus, you died. Not because of anything we've done, but Jesus, you are the gift to us from the Father. You are life. You are truth. I feel the Lord's want to say to each one of us is today, and this might be the first time you hear this, but you are the Father's gift to Jesus. There's going to be a marriage supper on that final day, and you and I will be the bride of Christ. You are gifted. You are a gift. You are not just a man on a mission or a woman with a job on this life, or a mother or a father or a sister or a brother. You are not just. You are a gift from God the Father to Jesus. And he wants to awaken a love in our hearts again for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That as we've sung earlier, that our knee will bow and our heart will confess the name of Jesus. That our whole lives will be centered around the person of Jesus. Yes, Lord, when we say yes, Lord, we give you our hearts this morning. We give you our love this morning. If you've been, if you were here this morning and you hear all of this, but you don't know if you are right with the Lord, you don't know if you've given your life to the Lord, I do want to give an opportunity for you to surrender your life to Jesus. It might be your first time, it might be, maybe you've lived your own life, gone astray, not really following Jesus. But sitting here this morning, you know I need to turn from my own way. I need to turn to Jesus. You know it because your heart is beating in your chest. Not just normally, because I know all of our hearts are beating in our chest. But there's something a little bit more going on there. You know the Lord is calling you. The Bible says that we all have sinned, we've all have fallen short of Him. We all. And the wages of that sin is actually death. And that's why Jesus came, to pay the price. And now as we come to the Lord, we believe that He is the Lord. And we receive Him as the Lord of our own lives. And we turn from our ways unto Him. That's called repentance. And if you want to do that this morning, say, Lord, I want to turn from my own ways. I want to turn to you, Jesus. I want to make sure that I have peace with you, that I have right standing with you as my God and as my Creator, as my Savior. I just want you to come before the Lord today and just where you are, just put up your hands. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my heart to you and say, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to follow you. Is there anyone who needs to say, Lord, I want to turn from my ways. I want to repent from walking on my own. I want to follow you, Jesus. Let's not miss this moment. For the rest of us, let's just keep praying. Fix our eyes on Jesus. To anyone who've walked away from the Lord, you need to come back. You need to say, Lord, I come back to you. I'm coming back to loving you. I come back to following you. See that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Say, Lord, here I am. Is there anyone else? I know there's someone, there must be someone. I just feel there's someone else who needs to come back to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, here I want to turn from all my ways. All my own things. I want to turn to you, Jesus. Turn to you, Jesus. Thank you. I see that. Can we maybe stand together? We would love to. We're going to pray with you guys now. But for the rest of us, we want to just take a couple of moments. Thank the Lord. Meet with the Lord. Center our hearts. Center our lives. Make it, devote ourselves to Jesus again this morning. For this year, guys, the Lord is excited. Do you guys know that? The Lord is excited and expectant for what He wants to do this year. In us, through us. And I know a lot of guys are, what's that thing we, logical, what's that thing? Analytical. We kind of settle with, hey, life is going to be tough. Going to have to go to work, gonna have to pay my bills, gonna even have to pay SARS, have to fill my car tank every week, have to stay married, have to raise my kids. I want to say, guys, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. He wants to fill us. He wants to infuse us. He wants to remind us. Because there's more than that. God wants to stir our hearts with a thankfulness and a fire. Like Maya was sharing this, when Jesus is walking around like a man on fire. And He wants to set our hearts on fire. And that fire doesn't always have to be exuberant, but it's the flame of God, the eternal one who burns in our hearts. And that flame doesn't go out. Can I ask those two guys, put up their hands, be very bold and come here. We want to pray with you guys right here. I know it's a little bit more, takes a little bit more guts, but Jesus walked up the hill. We want to pray right. Can we have some guys, comm leaders, some come pray right there with them? Amazing. Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on. We want to pray with you guys. Guys, there's only one thing that matters really in this life. Is that we get that day before Jesus and we're ready for that day. That's the only reason why we get together every day, why we read our Bible every day. And we want to take as many people with us on this journey. So as we let's do a apologies, guys. Rebuke that thing, whatever that was. Yeah, Father, we just pray with me. You guys can just pray me with Bali. Just, yeah. Lord God. Mike, let them pray with me first, and then you guys can minister a bit afterwards. When you guys can just pray with me, eh? Lord God, today I give you my heart. I give you my everything. I give you my everything. All of me. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all of my mind. I want to follow you. The cross before me, the world behind me. Lord, I turn from my own ways, and I turn to you, Jesus. You are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. And for all my days, Lord, I want to love you and follow you. Teach me to hear your voice, to know your ways, to know your truth, and fill me with your Spirit. I am yours, and you are mine. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Can we, again that thing, can we land, just take a moment and just sing a song of thanksgiving to the Lord, song of worship. Is that okay? Yeah, Lord. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. That you will be the lover of our souls this year. The Lord of our lives. The master of our hearts. Centered around you, Jesus. Every part of our lives. Every room in our hearts centered around you. In Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for the cross, Lord. Oh, thank you for the price you paid. You buried all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Oh, thank you for this love, Lord. Oh, thank you for the nail pierced. You wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Oh,
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. We're so grateful. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just say we're grateful, but we would live out of that, a gratitude in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that you've conquered death, that you've made a way for us. We thank you for this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.